We are learning the Yisubot of Rav Avadi Yosef, Shailot B'Shubat Yechavidah, tonight Chelek Dalet, Siman Mem Gimel. And Siman Mem Gimel, he wants to talk about, do you need to have kosher soap? Does your soap need to have a hechser? Now, what would they put in soap? So his idea of putting in soap is back in the day, they would put in sorts of animal fats. Fats and chelev. Chelev is part of an animal that you're not allowed to eat. Meaning, in a kosher animal, you have a cow, and so you eat the cow. What's the problem? The cow is kosher. Now, meat, fat, it's all good. There is a difference in halakha between, the Torah distinguishes between two different types of fat. That which we call chelev, and that which we call shuman. Shuman, you're allowed to eat. Your doctor may advise otherwise, but it's perfectly acceptable according to the Torah. Chelev, you're not allowed to eat, and it's an isur karit. Isur karit. We take this very, 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 very seriously. So much so that we don't even bother removing the chela from the cow. You can carefully remove the chela. We don't even bother usually. We just sell that whole section of the cow to the non-Jews. It's so much easier than sitting there. We have to be so careful because nisur karet, we just sell it to the non-Jews. They take the back of the animal usually and do it. There are people who know how to do it. It's an expense. It adds to the cost because now it's taking you more time and more expertise. It's not gidon asher. This is chela. Chelev is separate from Gidon Asher. It's chelev in the back too. But there's no chelev in the front. There's shuman. There's shuman. There's a difference between shuman and chelev. They don't even buy. Now, you can. It's perfectly 100% acceptable to remove the chelev and eat the meat. 100% acceptable. But if you're trying to industrialize the process, it's going to take you a long time. So they don't bother. They just sell it all nowadays. Back in the day, they used to do it. It's a lot of work. You can do it. It's just work. It has nothing to do with Gidon Asher. Gidon Asher is a separate... Also, you're allowed to remove it. It would be fine to remove it, and you could eat the rest. It takes a lot of time and effort. Costs a lot of money. And so most places don't bother. It's just easier to sell it. But sometimes, non-Jewish companies will use the chelev or fat or whatever. To them, it's all the same. Fat is fat. To make certain soaps. I don't know how common that is today, but they definitely did it in the past. Nowadays, they would put other types of non-kosher ingredients, perhaps not necessarily in soap, but in oils and ointments and creams and all sorts of things. So what's the status? Why would you think that's a problem? You're not eating it. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher. You're allowed to look at it. You're allowed to step on it. What would be the problem with the scrubbing into your skin? I'm not eating it. What about the... enjoyment from it. Would there be an Isur Hana'ah? So there's no Isur Hana'ah, non-kosher animals. Isur Hana'ah would only apply to Orlah, to Chametz B'Pesach, Chelev of Shor HaNiskal, I don't know. Come up with something. Correct, and not only that. Not only that does it say Lo Tochlu. It then tells you, V'Chelev Nevela V'Chelev Shrefa Ye'asela Kol Melacha. There is no Isur Hana'ah. One of the proofs for not having any Isur Hana'ah is from Chelev. So what would be the problem? The problem is the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Zayin. No, it's not. I'm not eating it. I'm not eating it. That's me. Okay, that's the end. You read the end already. Ellie knows the conclusion. But we gotta build it slowly. So the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Zayin is talking about Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippurim, you're not allowed to put oil on. You're not allowed to put creams. Why not? Why not? It's one of the Chamisai Nuim. Why not? Because the Gemara there says, it's based on the Pasuk, V'tavo kemayim bekirbi, v'chasemen ba'atzmotai. It brings in an idea called, just like mayim bekirbi you drank, shemen ba'atzmotai, sicha kishtia. Sicha means lasuch, to put oil on your arm. Kishtia is like drinking. Sicha kishtia. That's why you're not allowed to put oil on Yom Kippur? Okay. How far do we take that? Sichak Estia by everything. You're not allowed to drink on Yom Kippur, so you can't put oil on. Okay, if you can't drink chelev, I don't know how you drink chelev, fine. You can't put... How far do you take this? So Rabbeinu Tam says, whoa, hold on. First of all, let's talk about Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, why are you not allowed to put oil on? We said Sichak Estia. Rabbeinu Tam says, that's an Isur Derabanan. The only thing you're not allowed to do min HaTorah on Yom Kippurim is eating and drinking. Bathing, washing, oil, that's all the Rabbanan. anointing. But that's only in Sfirat Rabbanan, and he says it only applies to Yom Kippur. Only on Yom Kippur did they say don't do this. It's in Sfirat Rabbanan that they limited it to Yom Kippur. So any other prohibition, chelev, whatever it is, will be fine. No problem. You can use it. It's all fine. Only on Yom Kippur did they say don't do it. Unless it's Yisur Hana'ah, and Yisur Hana'ah you're not allowed to benefit from. The problem with that opinion is, well, the Gemara is clear in a number of places that Shemen Shel Truma is a problem. Meaning, Truma is meant to be eaten only by a Kohen. Okay, a Kohen's allowed to eat it, to drink it, to put it on oil, whatever he wants. But for a Zar, a non-Kohen, not only are we not allowed to eat the Truma, you're also not allowed to Lasuch B'Shemen Shel Truma. You're not allowed to use it as oil, to anoint yourself with it, to rub it in. So don't you see from here, Rabbeinu Tam, that the notion of Sicha Kishtia applies to other areas of Halakha? Rabbeinu Tam said, first of all, on Yom Kippur, it's only Din Rabbanan. Secondly, it doesn't apply to anywhere else. But you see, the Gemara says it applies to Truma. Truma you're not allowed to eat. So maybe so too here. So, in fact, there are a handful of Rishonim who say, yeah, not allowed to. Sicha Kishtia. You're not allowed to benefit. There are Rishonim, right? Yeah. No prohibition. Nothing that's assured to eat. You're not allowed to use oil. There are others who say, no. That maybe there's a difference, first of all, between shemen and chelid. One is oil, and one is fat. One is meant to be a liquid, and maybe that's the problem by truma, but everything else would be fine. There are others who take it even further. They say, Rabbeinu Tam, when he said it's okay, you know what he was talking about? Only b'makom tsa'ar. Rabbeinu Tam only allowed it b'makom tsa'ar. If there's no tsa'ar, just the chasel ta'anug, you want to put oil on whatever reason, that you're not allowed to do. Meaning, we have a spectrum of opinion. The first opinion is, seemingly Rabbeinu Tam said, the whole notion of sicha, rubbing in oil, is only a problem in Yom Kippur. You want to do anything else is fine. Just not truma. There are those who say, look, only b'makom tsar. Oh, b'makom tsar, when it's uncomfortable and you're suffering, you can do it. But no other time for pleasure, not allowed. And there are those who differentiate and say, oh, it depends. Is it oil or is it a fat? If it's oil, then you're not allowed to because it's a liquid, but other things would be fine. It sounds like it should be, no? It depends if it would be an issue to Rabban or to the right, but yeah, I guess it would play in. You wouldn't be allowed to do it on other fast days either. We don't seem to follow that, because on other fast days we assume that that would be only a chumra. Rabban Yosef says, look, it's a little bit unclear, however, he says, let's assume it's a problem. Even if you assume it's a problem, when you put it on, it's like you're drinking it, we have a principle that once something becomes inedible, this is what Ellie was talking about before, once it becomes no longer able to be eaten, then the prohibition goes away. Meaning, the Gemara talks about nevela haru'ya lager. The Torah says that only time that things are not allowed to be eaten, when they're able to be consumed by humans. When it's no, consumed by humans, consumed by a dog, consumed by cloud. Different issues, maybe. But when it can no longer be consumed, when it can no longer be fit for food, then it's no longer food. Wait, if it's no longer food, then there's no prohibition of shtiyah to drink it. If there's no prohibition to drink it, then there's no prohibition of sichak shtiyah either. So he says all of these things that they put into the soap, it's not edible. They're processing it 1.5 million times till it's not food anymore. Since it's not food anymore, therefore the prohibition of sichah, even if you think sichak shtiyah applies, and therefore you would not be allowed, if you had chelav of a cow, you would not be able to rub it on you. Let's assume, just for fun, because that's what you want to do with your time. Even if that's true, the soaps would be fine, because by the time it gets to the soap, it's not food anymore. The same thing is true of all of our ointments and creams and all those things that get into this. Even if they would contain non-kosher ingredients, even if that would be, you could take a look, then it would be fine, because it's not fit for consumption anymore. That said, you should be aware there are many puskim or machmir on this issue. They are machmir when it comes to Nisur D'Oraita, when it comes from actual chelev, that it would be a problem. So you'll find some soaps with a hechsher that say there was no chelev involved, that it was not actually coming from Nisur D'Oraita. In order to do the Rav Avadi yourself right, he says, no, the whole thing is fine, because by the time it's so processed to get into the soap, to get into the cream, it's no longer considered food. I mean, even if it wouldn't be a problem.